When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Yes, it is rolling along, presented by Progressive Insurance. Delighted you are here for the ride. What a moment in time we have in the NBA. You just heard Christine breaking it all down for you, or laying it all out for you. Two game sixes tonight, two game sixes tomorrow night. We have them all for you on ESPN television. I'll be here for countdown both nights. It's going to be awesome. And with that thought in mind, Nuno, I want to explain to you how this is going to go. So tonight, before countdown will be leading into Sixers Heat. And we will be on TV at 6:30, and then at 6:59 and 30 seconds, I will be tossing to whoever's doing the game, Mike Breen or whoever we have tonight in Philly. And in the 30 seconds before that, the goal, the vision of the show is always get predictions from everybody. So Will Bond will make a pick, Jalen will make a pick, Stephen A will make a pick. They always ask me, the producers always ask me for my pick, and we never get it in because they take up all my time. I never get to say who I think is going to win because for them, the time cues are just a suggestion. So I never get to make my picks. So I am going to preemptively tell you right now who I think is going to win all these games.
Hashtag KOD. The kiss of death.
All right, we got four games. And I'm going to make my KOD picks on all four of them. Let's start with, we'll do them in the order in which they're being played. Nuno, what is the line tonight on Miami at Philly?
Philly is favored by 2 points tonight.
Now, Hembo is usually able to tell me if they, can you tell if all the money is on one side or the other, or is that not available wherever it is you're looking these things up?
Yeah, that I think the nerds only have access to that stuff.
This is why people shake nerds.
Yeah, I don't know, because that always works. What do you think, Nuno? Who's going to win this game tonight? Like, I think one of two things is going to happen. I think either the Sixers are going to play great and they're going to win convincingly, or they're going to lose. I don't think they win a close game tonight. And I know that's kind of hedging both ways, but the KOD pick is going to be Sixers minus the two. I think they're going to win tonight. I just can't imagine them going. I can't imagine what the fallout will be tomorrow if they have another night like the one they had the other night. What do you think?
For me, this feels like a Sixers blowout win.
Yeah.
A game where, like, Embiid gets to the line like 18 times.
Right.
Maxey plays well. So I think that's what you're going to see tonight, is that the Sixers do just blow them out.
All right. So we kind of see it the same way. Sixers blowout. If they don't, I think they lose, but I think that they will. So that's that pick. All right, the next one, what is the line tonight? Phoenix at Dallas.
Phoenix is favored by 2 points on the road.
Yeah. I think Phoenix closes this out tonight. I really love Luka. And here's what my favorite thing about Luka Doncic. There was some criticism of him. Remember, he had the thing with Porzingis. There were a lot of people who thought he wasn't mature enough. He's arguing with the refs too much. The teammates don't love him. All that stuff. And rather than be a petulant 22-year-old and get frustrated by all that and kind of lash out, he seems to have accepted it. He seems to have accepted the criticism, I mean. Accepted the coaching from Jason Kidd. And from everything that I've heard and everything that we have been led to believe, he has really changed his perspective, changed his attitude, adapted himself, evolved himself, not in any way sacrificing his game, but adapted his mentality to a way where I think everyone's a lot happier with it, and it has made him into what he deserves to be, which is an MVP candidate. And he is an MVP of the league waiting to happen. So I love him. I just don't think he has enough help. And at the end of the day, when one side has all the guys that they have, that Phoenix has, and the other side is counting on Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie and people like that, no disrespect, even Jalen Brunson, no disrespect intended to them. The Suns are the better team, and I think they take care of business tonight and win. What do you think, Nuno?
I agree. I think this is one of those games. Chris Paul has struggled the last three games, hasn't reached double figures the last two. I just feel like they have too much. And as much as I like Luka, I think at some point, like, this is a huge offseason for them. They need to make the right moves to get him the help that he needs.
Well, I think they thought they had done that with Porzingis, right? I think there was a moment in time when many of us thought, can Luka and Porzingis be the next big two? Can that be a championship pairing? And obviously we saw that couldn't have possibly gone worse. But I think that's what they thought they were doing with him. They need another player like that. They need, you know, I don't know who it is, but they certainly need someone to pair with him if they're going to put themselves in the championship mix. Okay, Greeny on ESPN Radio. Tomorrow night, we will have Boston at Milwaukee. Is there a line on that game?
Currently, with Caesars Sportsbook, currently that line is Milwaukee's favored by 1.5.
There's a part of me that wants to say if the Celtics were going to win this thing, they would have done it already. I think if the Celtics, I don't care what anybody says, they gave away game 3. I know they were losing most of that day, but they had the lead and the ball, and then they had an offensive rebound that they just let bounce out of bounds. They had every opportunity to win that game. In the same way that the Nets should have beat them in game 1 of their series, the Celtics should have won game 3. And then last night, you have a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter at home. I don't think you bounce back from that. I think if the Celtics were going to win this series, they would have done it already. I think Milwaukee closes it out tomorrow night. What do you think, Nuno?
I would lean that way. My only thing is Tatum, who played well, and as did Jaylen Brown, that there's something about them that I think that they can overcome this and at least force a game 7. And I know there's been talk about possibly Chris Middleton, but I think they would probably hold him out at this point coming back. I just think that we bought into Jason Tatum being a top 5 superstar. And I think if that's the case, we will see it tomorrow.
Okay. I'm with you. I'd love to see it. I'm rooting for Game 7. Let me be clear, particularly now in my new role as the host of the NBA on ESPN. I am dying for Game 7s. I'm rooting exclusively for that. I'm not rooting for or against any of these teams, but I would love to see Game 7s. That said, I would assume, is Golden State favored by 7 points at home on tomorrow night? What's the line?
Currently, it's 8.5.
8.5. Yeah, I firmly expect them to win, but it would serve them right if they didn't. Like, it would serve them right for just taking last night off. I'll tell you what last night was, Nuno. You ever play tennis?
I mean, I tried.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I was a tennis player growing up. Not a particularly good one, but that was the sport in which I competed. And generally, if you're playing a long match, and I don't mean this with regard to me, but if you watch Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, whatever it might be, and you're in the midst of a long match, if a player is down 5-love in a set, even 4-love sometimes, you will notice them sort of go through the motions for the rest of that set, which is to say they won't bother expending any energy, wasting any energy in what is a futile effort to get back into that set. They'll just they'll conserve that, let that set get away, and then start fighting again in the next one. And people do that in tennis. That's what the Warriors did last night. They fell behind, and they just said, you know what? Heck with it. We're not going to bother with this one. We're not going to get ourselves back into it. The amount of energy it would take us to get back in this game is not worth it. Let's just save everything for the next set. And that's all well and good. But basketball is not supposed to work that way. Go back and show me the great championship teams that ever had a game like that. They're few and far between. People still talk about the massacre, the Boston, the Celtics and Lakers, whatever year that was, 84, whatever year it was that they had the Boston massacre. People still talk about that because 40 years later, because it never happens. Teams are not supposed to be down 55 points. Championship teams are not supposed to be down 55 points in a playoff game at any point. So it would serve them right if they blow this thing and they wind up having to go back to Memphis. That said, I do not expect it. I expect them to win and win easily. Nuno, you?
Yeah, it's over. Especially if the Suns win tonight, they're going to want to the Warriors are going to want to wrap up this series and not have to face a game 7 on the road Monday night. They will blow them out and just get ready for an exciting Western Conference final.
Okay, fair enough. So we have all of that on the table. Those are the picks, and we will see how they turn out. More basketball as we go. But next, I want to do this.
I'm sorry, what? What?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
Sam Howell has never eaten a steak. And I got to tell you, I have a problem with that. So Sam Howell is a quarterback from North Carolina that I spent a lot of time studying. There was a moment in time in which people thought he would be a first-round pick, and he wound up tumbling all the way. I believe he went in round five, right? The other day, last week in Vegas. And he had an up-and-down year at North Carolina. But he's a guy who some people think is going to wind up being a good NFL quarterback, and I hope he does. But Bubba, you tell me. Grant Paulson tweeted, Sam Howell has never eaten steak or tried a burger. He's not vegetarian. He just loves chicken and refuses to try a steak or a burger. Now, here's what I'll say. If you're a vegetarian, you're a vegan, you're whatever those things are, okay, well and good. I respect it. Plant-based. I know a lot of people are doing that. If that's your reasoning, okay. But if you just think you like chicken so much that you refuse to try a hamburger, that guy can't be my quarterback. Bubba, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm honestly more just confused of how this even happens, because I feel like when you're young, burgers are pretty much going to be on the dinner table pretty often. So how do you just avoid having a burger or a steak? You're just always telling your parents, no, I'm going to have chicken. I'm having chicken, and that's always just I just don't understand how that happens.
He's 21 years old.
I mean, I understand, yeah, when you're an adult, you can make your decisions, you're going to do that. But how do you, as a child, just be like, nope, we're doing chicken tenders tonight?
He has
and
said
tomorrow,
he has never eaten seafood, Bubba. Never eaten seafood, never had a bite of steak or a hamburger. Ever. 21 years old.
It's very strange. And wow. To your original question, no, he cannot be my quarterback.
No, can't be my quarterback.
I don't even know if I want him in the room.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, forget being my actual quarterback. I don't think he's going to contaminate the rest of the room.
I mean, I find it just abject insanity.
Sorry, Sam, you got to go.
It makes me question a lot of things. Coming up, you may not realize it, but LeBron was actually the biggest winner of this entire year, and I can prove it next on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, this is Greeny on ESPN Radio. I'm presented by Progressive Insurance. We will have the full, complete Who You Got coming up with Bubba. In just a few minutes, NBA playoffs going along, and they've been great. And I can't count the number of people, Nuno, that I've had say to me, see, LeBron James can be out of the playoffs and it can still be great. The NBA can still go on without LeBron. And that is obviously true. The playoffs have been great. The ratings have been good. The games have been really good. The drama has been really good. I'm all for all of it. I'm not here for the LeBron bashing. I understand why people do it. I've said a million times, if the league came back after the departure of Michael Jordan, it will come back after the departure of everybody. Michael Jordan was the most charismatic superstar that has ever been in any team sport in my lifetime. I don't know that I don't know how you could match what he meant to the NBA. And they went on just fine after he was done, and the NBA will do the same whenever LeBron is done. However, Nuno, you sent me this, so I'll credit you with it. Did you know that LeBron was actually the biggest winner, not only in the NBA, but in all of American sports last year? How about that?
Yeah, I saw it. I was a little surprised because normally on a list like that, there's a lot of the soccer players. Floyd Mayweather was always on that list. So I was a little surprised that LeBron was number one there.
Let's tell people what list we're talking about. The sports business publication Sportico said that LeBron James last year made the most money of any athlete in the world. He made $126.9 million in the last year. He took over the top spot from Conor McGregor. He is among 36 NBA players listed in the top 100 rankings. He's also the only American in the top five. Now, the other Americans who had very big financial years, and again, all these things are relative because anyone even remotely near the list obviously is doing just fine for themselves. But for what it's worth, Steph Curry made $86 million. Kevin Durant, $86 million. I'm rounding here. James Harden, $76 million. Tiger Woods, $73.5 million. Naomi Osaka made $53 million. She's the top-earning woman on the list. Serena Williams at $35 million is the only other woman in the top 100. Then we go to the international stuff. So America's most popular, the number one athlete in all this is LeBron. The next ones are all soccer players. Lionel Messi, $122 million. Cristiano Ronaldo, $115 million. Neymar, $103 million. So those are the next 13 soccer players are on the list. And those guys are the next ones on the list. They remain the biggest stars in the sporting world, right? Like LeBron James, that's the company that he's keeping. You get a couple of basketball players. I'm not even sure who else. Tiger, does he belong in that? Roger Federer, does he belong in that? Nuno, those soccer stars, those are the biggest actual stars in the sports universe, yes?
Correct. Those are the guys that, you know, like someone like Cristiano, cases, you know, has the most social media followers and makes ridiculous amount of money off that. Like, that are approaching, you know, LeBron is a billion-dollar athlete. That's the same thing with someone like Cristiano Ronaldo and all his deals and the money he's made. So, yes. But it is interesting to see that on that list of the top 100 athletes that you said, there's 36 NBA players. There's only 12 MLB players, and we've seen some ridiculous deals recently.
Yeah, the Major League Baseball players, they get the long, huge contracts. What they don't do is they don't make much money other than that.
For instance, like Mike Trout is 24th on this list. He's making his average annual salary is $35.5 million, but only endorsement wise, only right, it's $14 million. Where, you know, LeBron, his endorsements are $90 million this year, which is, you know, a Tiger Woods, you know, who isn't winning on the course, you know, his endorsements are $65 million.
Yeah. There are interesting things to be gleaned from lists like this. I always do find them fascinating. I also find endlessly fascinating this, how our country is just so uniquely cut off from the soccer thing. So Cristiano Ronaldo has 300 and something million followers on Instagram. He's the second highest grossing athlete in the world, and he is probably the most famous athlete in the world. He probably is. And yet, Nuno, stop me if I've told you this story. Many years ago, I'm in Miami. My family went down to South Beach for vacation. It was Christmas vacation. And so the four of us are down there. We're staying in a hotel. And Dan Le Batard came and met me for a drink, and we're sitting out there. We're having a drink. And we're just all sitting by the pool of this hotel on a beautiful Miami afternoon, you know, Christmas week. And all of a sudden, my son, Steven, who at that time was probably, I'm trying to think how many years ago this was, he's probably 12 years old, something like that. He comes over and he says, "Dad, Cristiano Ronaldo is sitting on the other side of the pool." And we look over, and sure enough, Cristiano Ronaldo is sitting by himself in a chair by a pool, and no one is bothering him. No one. Enough so that my son literally walked over with his phone, sat down next to him, and snapped a selfie. Asked permission, don't get me wrong. He didn't sneak it. He like walked over, said, "Can I take a picture with you?" Sat down next to him, snapped a selfie, and came back. That's Cristiano Ronaldo. There is not another country, I don't think, on planet Earth where you could do that, where he could be sitting there without a slew of security, right? I mean, could you imagine the equivalent of him is LeBron James? Can you imagine LeBron James sitting by himself at a swimming pool in Miami and just whatever happens, happens? It's unimaginable. So that fascinates me, Nuno, what always has.
Yeah, I think there's two parts. One, it was because you were hanging out with the mayor of South Beach, you and Levitard, so everyone was just focusing on that. But yeah, a couple years ago, Marty Smith did a this fascinating feature with Cristiano in China and literally couldn't walk anywhere without being mobbed. But at that point in time, he was just able to hang out here in the U.S. and no one bothered him, which is amazing. Maybe it's our culture where some people just, hey, there's a star, I'm going to leave them alone for the most part, especially in a setting like that.
No way. It's that people didn't know who he was. If Tom Brady was sitting there, if LeBron James was sitting there, if Tiger Woods, well, let me put it this way, none of them would be sitting there. All of them would be in some cordoned off area. I have seen that happen too. So I'm in the Caribbean forever ago. I don't remember. This is a very long time ago. My kids are little. And we are sitting by a pool. Again, it's Christmas vacation. And we're just sitting down there, you know, enjoying our vacation like everybody else, sitting in a beach chair, you know, getting some sun. And all of a sudden, like, there is a commotion, like stuff is happening. And I realize that Derek Jeter and Michael Jordan have just walked out there and are being led to a little area where they're going to go have lunch with a small group of other people. Don't know who the other people were. And they have, how do you pronounce the word, phalanx? P-H-A-L-A-N-X. Is it a phalanx? Whatever you call that, of security. It's a word you read all the time. I don't know how to say it. Whatever it is, they have a freaking fleet of security around them. And literally every person at this pool but me got up and followed them to where they were walking and then hung out and stared at them while they ate their lunch. Through, you know, they were like court. There was like roped off the area where they were sitting, and no one's allowed to go past it because, understandably so, because people would mob them. And you, literally, I think I was the only person still sitting on his chair the entirety of the time that the two of them sat there and ate their lunch. So that's the equivalent of Ronaldo, right? Cristiano Ronaldo is every bit as big as Derek Jeter and Michael Jordan. Globally, he's way bigger than Derek Jeter. So to me, Nuno, it's not about Americans not wanting to go hang out with celebrities. It's about the fact that in this country, at least as of then, he didn't really count as one, which is astonishing.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the case more so than anything else was that what at that time, right? Because I think at this point in time, if he shows up here, it's completely different and he's not able to do that, right? That's why those guys, you know, live that different life and, you know, rent million-dollar yachts and are in secluded islands just to enjoy a vacation that way so they don't get harassed. Maybe that's the biggest thing is that we don't pay attention to soccer and to soccer superstars until they become, like, they're on that level. They're on the Cristiano, they're on the Messi, they're on the Neymar type of level. Maybe that's
young
the
people
biggest
do.
Thing.
I'll tell you this. Young people do because they play FIFA and they all know these guys and they watch Premier League. They watch all this stuff. You know, it's my generation that didn't pay enough attention to soccer. I think that'll change here.
Greeny, the podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, here we roll along with you. We'll do Who You Got with Bubs in just a couple of minutes. I wanted to play this soundbite, though, because Marcus Smart has grown on me so much. So Marcus Smart is one of those guys that if he's on your team, you love him. And if he's not on your team, you can't stand him, right? He's an irritant. He's that kind of guy, but he's such a good player. And he won Defensive Player of the Year this year, and he deserved it. And he is on the wrong side of the two biggest plays of the game last night. He's on the wrong side of the block from Drew Holiday, and he throws the ball out of bounds off him, and then he's on the wrong side. He gets his pocket picked at the very end of the game, and that's how it ends. But if you remember the way Doc Rivers and James Harden were talking, and Embiid were talking after the Sixers lost the other night in Miami, how deflated and defeated they sounded. The opposite of that was Marcus Smart after last night's game. I really loved the way he handled it. This is what he said.
Just move on. They did to us what we did to them the last game at their place. So we just got to come back out and keep swinging. You know, we got to fight back, and that's just what it is. We don't have time to worry about how we lost. We ain't got time to worry about, we lost and right now and it hurts. Got time for that. So it hurts. It definitely hurts, but we ain't got time to feel it. We got to go on to the next one, and really it's simple. If you're not ready to come play next game, then don't step on that court. So that's how you get ready and move on.
See, I love that. Marcus Smart could be the leader of my team anytime. And while that team has two young, true stars in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I think Marcus Smart is the heartbeat of that team. And if they win a championship someday, I think he's going to be a huge part of the reason why. It's complicated because generally in the NBA, historically, your best player is your leader. Like Michael Jordan was the leader of his teams. LeBron James is the leader of his teams. Kevin Durant is the leader on his teams. You know, the Celtics are sort of led by Smart, even though clearly Tatum is their best player and Brown is their next best player. But one way or another, I really loved the way he handled that. If you don't think we're going to win this game, don't get on the plane. Let's not bother going to Milwaukee. Look, we've seen this happen before. I remember a series a long time ago. The Knicks lost the Game 5 on their home floor to Indiana. It looked like they were going to get knocked out, and they went to Indiana and they won Game 6. So could I see the Celtics doing it? Yeah, I mean, it's the heartbreaking nature of these losses and the fact that they're going up against a team that has the best player on the floor, as great as Tatum is, the best player in this series is Giannis. I expect Milwaukee to win that game, but it certainly wouldn't shock me if Boston plays great and forces a Game 7 and then all bets are off. That's a great series between two really, really good teams. But I liked what Smart said there, and I thought it was worth you hearing. All right, we'll do Who You Got in 15 seconds on ESPN Radio.
Life is a series of choices.
Who you got?
Make a decision.
Say it! Say it!
All right, I'll say it.
Who you got?
All right, Who You Got means Bubba. Many of you are probably aware, and you hear him all the time here on the program. He's so good. Even while he's talking to me, he gives me time cues on the air. He's a legend in the radio production field. But prior to that, he had a very long and successful career working in the CIA, administering lie detector tests. And so he has a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions for me, and I have no choice but to answer them honestly. So, Bubba, take it away.
All right. Who You Got brought to you by Grainger. And we were talking about this earlier in the hour, but for anyone who missed it, we have two Game 6s tonight on ESPN, first at 7, also on ESPN Radio. Heat, 76ers. Can the 76ers avoid elimination at home? Who You Got?
Yes,
here?
I have the Sixers, and I'm doing that as much with my heart as my head. I really want to see a Game 7 in that series. We talked about it earlier this hour, and I will go back to what we said for you if you're joining us. I think either the Sixers win easily or they lose. I think if the Sixers don't just play a huge game, huge bounce back, and be dominant, Harden looking like he cares, Tyrese Maxey playing great, Danny Green making threes, if they don't play that kind of game, I think they lose tonight. But I think they will play that game. I think the Sixers will win comfortably and force a Game 7. What's the next one?
Then we got Suns at Mavs. Can the Mavs avoid elimination at home? Who You Got?
Over. It's all over. I think that this is going to be the end of the road for Dallas and Luka. Luka's had a phenomenal year, a phenomenal postseason, but he needs help. And I think that the Suns are they have championship stuff. And I think, unlike what Golden State did last night, I think when championship teams see blood in the water, they pounce. I think they put this one away and don't mess around with a Game 7 back at home. So I like Phoenix to end that tonight.
All right, to the NFL, the Cowboys travel to Green Bay Week 10 this fall. Will Mike McCarthy still be the Dallas coach when that happens? Who You Got?
I like that question, Bubs. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people speculated that by keeping Dan Quinn and not letting him go, by making it really attractive for Quinn, not to leave last year for the Denver vacancy or anywhere else they may have wanted him, that they did set themselves up for this, that if it does not start well next year, that they could make that coaching move in season. Historically, they have not. The Cowboys have not done a lot of that. We've all seen it. They stayed with Jason Garrett a lot longer than most people thought they would. I thought they might fire Mike McCarthy after last season, and they didn't. I still don't know what the Sean Payton of it all is, which is to say, I still believe that with the relationship between Jerry and Sean Payton, that that's the long-term future. So my gut feeling is McCarthy coaches out this season, unless it's just an unimaginable disaster, which I don't think it will be. I think McCarthy coaches out the season, and if they don't win the division, win at least one playoff game, et cetera, I think Sean Payton is the next coach of the Cowboys. So my answer to you, Bubba, is McCarthy will still be the coach of the Cowboys in Week 10. It's who you got, Bubba, on ESPN Radio. Go.
Oh, he'll still be the coach because we will not have lost a game yet. So I don't
You're feeling good about it.
I don't even think it'll be a question.
You think you're going to open? Will it be Cowboys at Rams to open the season? They do play each other this year. Will it be that everyone on the Get Up staff was saying, how does the league not do that? Last year, the Cowboys opened at Tampa, the defending champs. They're the biggest draw in the sport. You want to start with a bang. Do you expect to see tonight Cowboys at Rams as the opener?
I mean, if they want the ratings, they should do that, yeah. If they know what they're doing.
This is why I could never be the person in charge of this. Right. So we have great people at ESPN who are in charge of that. What rates? What doesn't? Here's what I'd be thinking. I'd be thinking, don't use up Cowboys there. Like, no matter when you put them on, you're going to get a trillion people watching.
True.
The opening game, you're going to get a trillion people watching no matter what, because it's the opening game. People are so excited to see it. So I wouldn't use up one of my Cowboys spots on a spot that I would get the huge audience anyway. Now, obviously I'm wrong. I'm sure I am wrong. And I'm sure there are a million reasons why I'm wrong, because they do it. But that would be my thinking, Bubba. How about you?
I think there's definitely some validity to that. I think, I don't know, we got to dive into the statistics there, because you wonder how many more people tune in just because of it. Obviously, the mass majority of people are going to watch no matter what. But is there a boost because it's Cowboys?
So. Yeah. I would save my Cowboys for later in the season when you never know what you might be getting.
Right.
That's when I would play my Cowboys card, if you will, from a network perspective.
Sure.
All right. Again, I know nothing about this stuff, and if I had to bet on it, I would bet it will be Cowboys at Rams. They will release the schedule tonight. What's next?
All right. Speaking of 8 o'clock, ESPN2, schedule release is happening tonight. So what's the one matchup you're immediately looking for when it's announced tonight? What are you looking at?
Well, I mean, it's got to be Jets related, right? I mean, I don't know that it's as much one matchup as you look at your team's schedule. All right, I'll give you the answer. You're looking for things like, when is the bye? You want a late bye? You're looking for, do they at any point have three straight games on the road? Teams hate that. You're looking for, where does the Thursday night fall in? I'm not as worried about Monday nights and Sunday night. Not that the Jets are going to get a lot of those, but it's that Thursday night. That Thursday night is a rough one. Thursday night is always a tough spot. You want to get that out of the way early in the season. So that's the kind of stuff you look for as the scheduling, I guess. And then if you're going to talk about one matchup in particular, you know, when do the Jets go to Buffalo? I guess that's the question. I mean, why am I even talking about that? I mean, what difference does it make when they go to Buffalo? I'll say that one. Buffalo plays Kansas City this year, right? I believe they do. I think we had that as one of the matchups. So
I believe so, yeah.
That to me is the most interesting matchup of the season. Can Buffalo knock – Kansas City has become their white whale. Can they do it? Can they knock off Kansas City in a game that it matters? We will find out. I've got – here, someone – Lorenzo's typing this up. Chiefs play Rams, Bucks, Bengals, and Bills this year. Yeah, those are good games.
Wow.
Chiefs-Bills, I think, is probably the game I'd be looking forward to most on that list. All right, I've just given you a lot of answers to that question, and none of them good. Bubba, what's next?
So tomorrow, when you're doing the old win, loss, win, what are we thinking for the Jets? What's your early prediction right now?
Well, there's 17 games now, so they might lose a second. So I might, you know, I've always gone 15-1.
Right, yeah, so now you got to account for two, maybe?
I think I'll go 15-2. We'll split with Buffalo.
Okay.
And And you always, you know, the week 17 will be resting our starters. That's what it is. Week 18. So the Jets will split with Buffalo.
Right.
Here's what I'll say. If they happen to be playing Buffalo week 18, then they'll go 16-1 because they won't have lost another game. They'll just lose. That one will count as their second loss because they would already have lost that anyway. So they're going to split with Buffalo, and they will rest their starters the last week after we have wrapped up the division. So 15-2 is my prediction.
All right. Excellent. So we talked about
You know what's funny about that, by the way?
Right, sure.
Can I just have an aside?
Yeah, why not? Go ahead.
So every year I do that shtick. It goes back to Mike and Mike. I put up, you know, I go through the matchups and the Jets are going to go 15-1. I picked them to go to 15-1 every year for however many years I did it. And then every year someone posts it and people don't realize I'm kidding. Like, I get inundated. This is why you cannot take Twitter seriously. You cannot take things on Twitter seriously. Because nothing is more obvious than the fact that I'm kidding. And yet people will, Greeny, you're out of your mind.
They thought you when you rattled off 12 straight Jets wins that you were
You know nothing about football. This is why no one pays attention to your opinions. Like, just inane stuff. I mean, it's just hilarious. And yet people just take it seriously. That's why you can't pay attention to this nonsense. Anyway, Bubba, what do you got?
Yeah, speaking of absurd, as we were talking about earlier, Sam Howell has never had a steak or a burger. Are you okay with this? We talked about this earlier. I said he can't be my quarterback. Luckily, he's on, on Washington?
Yeah, correct.
Clown. So who you got?
I mean, don't say that.
He can't be your quarterback, right, if he's never had a steak or a burger?
Absolutely not. And here's between those two. Here's the one I would miss the most. So I have cut down on my red meat, a little cholesterol, whatever it is. I don't eat a lot of red meat. I eat it every now and again.
Right.
I do not eat a lot of red meat for like nutrition, whatever, you know, diet purposes. I'm getting older.
Sure.
I will tell you this. I never miss steak. Never. I have no problem not eating steak. A good burger, I cannot pass up. The smell of a burger, and you know I spend a lot of time on golf courses. You walk past that grill, and they got the burgers grilling out there. I could easily, much more easily, is this a controversial statement? I could much more easily live the rest of my life without ever eating a steak than I could without ever eating another good hamburger. Bubba, agree or disagree?
I agree with you. I'm with you. I'm not a huge steak guy myself. I enjoy steak, so I definitely enjoy steak, but give me a burger any day of the week.
I can't walk past it. I can't get past the smell.
Absolutely.
What is it about the smell of a grilling hamburger that is, it's irresistible? I mean, it makes my mouth, I could be as full, I could get up from eating a 6-course meal. I could be stuffed. And if I walk past a grilling a hamburger, my mouth will start watering. It's like Pavlov's dog. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I sure do.
Do you know Pavlov and his dog?
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah, the great Pavlov and the dog?
Yeah, it's no
hamburger
it's no
or steak.
Legler and Guinness, but.
No, hamburger or steak?
Hamburger,
yeah,
all the
hamburger.
Way.
That's three. We got three votes for hamburger. And you would think I'd be the steak one in the group, but I'm not. I'm a burger guy. All right, Bubba, what's next?
All right, who you got brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is always there to help. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. 18 years ago yesterday, the series finale of Frasier aired, which is, of course, a spinoff of Cheers. So who you got as your favorite all-time spinoff?
See, I love sitcom conversations. I love this. So mine tend to go back a long ways. So the best TV show of its era by far was All in the Family, the legendary Archie Bunker All in the Family. That spun off two shows that I liked. One of which was Maude, which was a very good show with Bea Arthur. The other of which was The Jeffersons, which I think is one of the really classic all-time sitcoms, one of the great sitcoms of all time. So my inclination would be to say that. Now, the other thing I'll say is my next favorite show, my favorite show as a child was Happy Days, which was The Fonz. Happy Days spun off two great shows. Everyone knows it spun off Laverne and Shirley. They were characters who were originated on Happy Days. Many may not know it also spun off Mork and Mindy.
Yeah.
Robin Williams, I'm not going to say owed his career to, but like he first got started. He became a sensation because he was so ridiculously funny in a cameo as Mork on the show Happy Days. So like those are all classic sitcoms that were spinoffs. So if I've got to pick one, I'll go with the Jeffersons, but it would be very close because I loved Laverne and Shirley. I loved Mork and Mindy. Again, I was a child of the 70s, and these are the TV shows that I watched. But I will go, am I forgetting an obvious one? I mean, Frasier was a very good show, but I was already so much older by then. I don't think you think of shows the same way as you do from shows in your childhood.
Yeah, I feel like Frasier is probably the contemporary one.
Right. That's, I mean, there are probably more contemporary ones than that, but I don't know what they are. They don't really do a lot of spinoffs anymore. I'll go with that.
I mean, you know, Better Call Saul is probably the most recent one. I don't know.
But those aren't even sitcoms. The world has just changed so much. All right, give me one more question.
24 years ago Saturday, Frank Sinatra died at the age of 82. He was born in 1915 in Hoboken, New Jersey. Who you got as your favorite Sinatra song? No, one minute.
It's impossible to choose. I saw Sinatra at United Center in Chicago in probably 92 or 93, something like that. And he certainly was no longer at his best. But there are still moments, and the one that I will never forget is he's doing New York, New York. And you know that moment when he hits that, these little town, you know the moment in the song I'm talking about. I could never sing it. When he hit that, you could faint. It was so special. It was magical. So for that reason, I will pick that. But I love Frank Sinatra, and I'm glad we asked the question. All right, enjoy. We got a great night of sports tonight. We got all the basketball. We got the games will be on ESPN TV. We got one of them here on ESPN Radio. The NFL schedule releases on ESPN2. It's an unbelievable night for the sports fan, and we'll be back and better than ever to cover it all tomorrow here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.